Okay, here we are, and it's Monday. I don't even know where to start. There's just so much going on. I see if I can find this. Hi there, young lady.
Hi, Jeff.
Did you have a fun day today?
Yeah, reasonably fun. The weather was nice, so that's a bonus.
Yeah. Okay. There are so many things to talk about. Just let me duck this in first because it's pretty damn disgusting. I guess it would be funny if we were in different times. Columbia University, that bastion of Bolshevik communism, the medical school there, has launched a new transgender nursing program. While citing the women's need for prostate exams. That's a headline. That's a headline. Don't ask. I don't know. I can't believe these things. And we're not anywhere near the end of the line on this stuff. It's just getting going. We will not have a viable culture and civilization. What's happening this fall and winter is that, as many of you already figured out, there are going to be power outages. The big cities are going to become, what was that movie? 30 years ago, Blade Runner. That's what you're going to see. It's going to be hell on earth.
Yeah.
Hell.
Mad Max.
That's it. But, I mean, I know a lot of women who need prostate exams. Is it? The big market for that.
You just wonder, who is anybody believing it or subscribing to this concept?
Well, it's a new program at Columbia. They'll be full, I guarantee it. Sign-ups will go. They'll give special dispensations of grants, scholarship grants. You'll see. New York Times reports sharp rise in transgender young people in the U.S. Well, what a shock. And I did see today, I don't think I told you this, I saw a video of a pride parade, okay? And the alleged males had rainbow Speedos on and they're walking down the street. And it was packed, both sides of the street, crowds and crowds of people, mostly females, mostly mothers, or a lot of mothers, lots. And they had their little children there. And they were trying to get their little children to wave like you wave at a parade. And I remember it stuck in my mind, this picture of a little girl, I don't know, 4 or 5, trying to wave and not getting it. Didn't know where the hell she was. Didn't understand what she was looking at. They weren't Disney characters, that's for damn sure. And then another scene showed another woman, a fat mother. Yeah, I know, fat, I understand. Some people can't help it. I get it. All right. But she looked like a pig. And she had this little boy and down in front of her, you know, in front of her knees. And she was holding his shoulders and making him look at this excrement, this rainbow excrement walking by, and telling him to wave. And he kept turning away from it 180 degrees and trying to go to his mother for comfort, support, and she would turn him back. What kind of a parent is that?
It's awful.
It's unspeakable.
Every form of moral degeneracy is being promoted. I have a paper here about directed and conditional uterus donation. This is from the UK.
I talked about that briefly last hour. Go ahead, please. This is a new organ sales business, is what it is.
Uterus transplantation is highly anticipated for the benefits that it might bring to individuals wanting to carry a pregnancy in order to reproduce who do not have a functioning uterus.
Like Big Jake the bartender.
Now having been performed successfully in several countries around the world, remains experimental. However, uterine transplantation is at some point expected to become a routine treatment for people without a uterus and considering themselves in need of one.
Fortunately, I fought that desire back several years ago.
Apparently, there's a market for it.
You bet there is. There's a market for perversion and perversity and perverse behavior of any kind now. It's just that way. They found a way to monetize filth.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right. On Memorial Day, if you're new to the program, this is the Jeff and Erica Hour, our 3 hours a week, making sure that you have the best information that we can find so you can make the best decisions for yourself, your family, loved ones, friends, compatriots, and all that. It's for vaxxed and unvaxxed. We do not discriminate, and we urge all the vaxxed to certainly understand that the unvaxxed are not out there to try to kill them off, and vice versa. This is a game of divide and conquer. It's the oldest game there is. So you split the country, and it's split about 80-20, apparently. So that's what we were doing. And we are here Monday, Wednesday, Friday for you. And all the programs are up on the homepage, so you can certainly share them. And share them, people do. They go all over the place, and we're very grateful for you for doing that, to try and get the information, the real information out there. And I got a little bit upset, and not upset. I got a little angry at these media docs who will not tell the truth. Now, I understand some of them may have been threatened. Some of them may have had their license put in jeopardy. But they've got to stop lying or just shut the hell up. This is not a vaccine.
No. No.
So just don't say anything.
You know, it's crippling
if you won't tell the truth.
And maiming a lot of people.
It's the cascade, the avalanche, the tsunami has begun. It's got a long way to go. And just read your local obituaries if you want to see. Died suddenly, died unexpectedly, died after a very short illness, etc. You figure it out. 80% vaxxed approximately. And people are now getting up to 6 shots. That's 4 boosters. And tell our listeners, they may have missed it, about the one that we read the other day. 5 and 6?
This poor person was subjected to the series because she needed an operation, some surgery. And it would involve a transplant, and her doctor was not happy with the fact that they subjected her to this. And anyway, she survived the first two, and then I guess had a third and a fourth. Ended up getting COVID shortly after that, went on remdesivir, by some miracle survived that, and then she needed further surgery for something, and they wanted her to get the 5th and 6th on the same day within an hour of each other. And she managed to fend them off, but this absurdity that... You know it's not about health.
It has nothing to do with health. This
no,
is about
nothing.
The destruction of a culture and a society and a country and nationalism and individuality and our Constitution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it's about. Now, on Memorial Day and the week before that, we spent an hour here explaining all about the blood clots and that they're not made of blood. We explained how they're made, why they're made, who's causing them to be made. They're made of proteins, which are misfolded and form little fibrils, which become bigger groups of little fibrils. They self-assemble, they aggregate, and ultimately they become what looks like a rubber band for a slingshot. They're white, kind of yellowy white, and there'll be blood stacked up at each end of it, obviously, because there was blood in that artery or vein before the heart stopped pumping. But they're not blood clots. We made that eminently clear in great detail. And we watch. When we do something like that, we watch. We watch very carefully to see who picks it up and who begins to run with it. You know who picked it up and ran with it? Virtually nobody that we saw. Nobody. Until today, when I got a story from the health ranger and a lot of pictures from the embalmer Hirschman showing these amyloid clots. And it's very interesting because most of the pictures show something that's obviously desiccated and oxidized. It's dried out, it's discolored, it's gray, it's dark, whatever. And then there's a picture of a little, what do you call it, a vial, full of amyloid clots that were taken out of people's veins and arteries. And they're perfectly the same color we're used to seeing from Dr. Hirschman's work, and we commend him for that. But the point is, virtually nowhere in that story did the word amyloid appear with any regularity, frequency, or anything. These are amyloid clots from people who are being stricken with deadly amyloidosis, which causes everything from Alzheimer's and prion disease, CJD in the brain, etc., to any major organ being destroyed by amyloidosis. Understand, that's the story. What do we get? A bunch of alarmist pictures. We don't know what these things are. They're terrible. They're da 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 da. We know what they are, and those people do too. People putting stories out like that. And that was the first one today. They know damn well. They listen to this program. They know what's going on. And I think we may have forced them into having to back into admitting it. We'll see. We'll see. And you people out there who spread this program around are to be commended most highly for that, because you're part of the staff here. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have the, the scientific research to support all of what we've been saying. And it's just a matter of time before they're going to have to address it. We know that there are amyloidogenic sequences in the spike protein, in particularly in the Wuhan, the first strain of the virus that was circulating, and in the Delta one, not the Omicron, interestingly. But that is what people are being injected with.
Footnote. That's big. The Omicron didn't.
That's big because if you remember, they told us that they would be able to very quickly adjust the mRNA or the genetic code in the vaccines to adapt to any new strains. Well, they haven't done it, and you've got to wonder why. I mean, these things have been out for 2 years now, and they claim that within an hour or so they were able to come up with the mRNA coding for the original vaccine, and yet they can't adapt these vaccines to the latest variant. And you have to ask yourself why. Is it because they know that there's a prion domain in the spike protein? Is it because they know there's 7 identified amyloidogenic sequences in the spike protein that will cause your proteins to misfold?
And don't forget that when a protein misfolds, it stays misfolded, and it goes on to misfold another protein and another. It's a chain reaction. They don't all have to be misfolded by the sequences in the spike, the cleaved spike, to be specific. They don't have to be. There's 7 sequences on the inside of that spike protein that any protein that comes near will be misfolded. It's like a machine, and it didn't get there accidentally.
Right. So one of the things these gene transfection injections do is dysregulate your protein production. You're producing this foreign, very toxic protein at the expense of your proteins, and you're producing it in copious amounts and expecting your body to deal with it somehow. And it's a roll of the dice how many people can successfully deal with this, especially with repeated administrations of the mRNA or the adenovirus DNA, which essentially does the same thing, cause your body to produce this toxic foreign protein, which is basically acting as a seed for prions or misfolding, amyloidosis. That is what...
It's like a little machine. It's a, like a little prion machine, a little generator. You can see it as fine. That is the mechanism by which this whole thing starts. And technically, now this may sound really ridiculous, but not to us. Technically, it is possible for one spike protein to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and start the wrong misfolding cascade and chain and avalanche in your body, and you're screwed. That's possible. It's not necessarily probable, but it's possible. And we know now that the spike protein can be spread through aerosols, right?
Yes.
So understand, when you're around other people who have been vaxxed, they're shedding. No question. And these things will hang around in the air. Yeah,
that's been proven. It is released in exosomes. And exosomes can exit the body through a variety of, you know, skin exhalations, secretions. And prions are found in urine. That is one of the way that the CWD in deer and elk, moose, is spread.
Go ahead and explain that life cycle of the prion.
Well, okay, so an
it's
animal
very interesting.
Becomes,
go ahead.
And this is now a plague that's spreading in North America among deer, elk, moose, cervids. So the animal becomes infected, and then begins this process of generating more and more proteins, which are shed through the skin, exhalations, urine, and any bodily secretions, and horns, and they end up in the environment. And if it's on grass or vegetation that another one might eat, another animal could be exposed that way and then go on to develop the infection. And alternatively, and more frighteningly, these prions, because they're virtually indestructible, they can withstand extremes of weather and temperature. They can be uptaken by a growing plant. And then when an animal eats that plant, they acquire the infectious protein and can go on to develop the disease, which is a form of spongiform encephalopathy. And they'll die. It's fatal. It's uniformly fatal.
Okay. May I add on to that?
Yes.
You're living in an area where there's a lot of agriculture, lots of deer, and you're in one of the 30-plus states that the deer have been proven to be stricken with CWD, mad deer disease. It's mad cow, but whatever. And so the deer happily go out and forage among the rows of crops, and they do what deer do, urinate, defecate, lick the leaves of some of them, eat other ones. In other words, they're depositing prions in the agricultural soil that these crops are growing in. And either these crops or the next crop rows will take the prions, pull them up into the leaves, let's say lettuce, just for fun, into the lettuce, and you get to eat that with prions. It's a possibility. Can I prove it? Have I done the lab work to show you? No, but we know the life cycle of a prion goes into the ground, into the grass, comes up in the grass and the shrubs, and it's eaten by the deer, and they get sick and they die. Same thing happens in the fields of crops, exactly. The deer go out there and they munch and they just leave prions behind if they're infected. And what's the most radical thing that any state has ever done to warn hunters and deer meat eaters? The most radical thing I've ever seen was one of the states said, well, we've got mad deer in the state, so it's probably a good idea if you see a deer staggering around and drooling It's not a good idea to shoot and harvest that deer. That's all I've ever seen. Why? Because they're protecting the hunting industry.
Yeah. And didn't they have, up in New Brunswick, fairly recently, a bunch of people, it was a people or animals, that came down with CJD, and they didn't know what the source was. This was before, sometime early last year, before the injections were rolled out in earnest. It was really a question mark where these cases were stemming from. Perhaps it was deer, but I don't know. Nobody knows, or they claim they don't know.
That's, if you're a government worker, that's how you do it.
But the spike protein, neurological issues are dramatically increasing now in lockstep with both the virus to some extent, but certainly with the vaccines. And the vaccines cause your body to make this toxic protein, toxic prion-generating protein.
And remember, don't just think brain, okay? Think all your organs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, any sort of nervous tissue is often the culprit, yeah. or the target,
It loves nerves.
Yes.
Kind of scary out there, isn't it, dear friends? So what do you do? You shop your local farmers' markets and get to know your growers. There's a possible there. Hopefully you live in a state that doesn't have CWD issues yet. You do a simple search, CWD states, you'll have maps to look at, and you can figure out if you're in one or you're not. But they really have they've got this whole thing figured out. I'm not saying they planted it in deer, but I will say that the cattle feed that is commonly dumped out of a pickup truck out in a pasture for cows to eat is made of ground up brains of sheep, deer, roadkill, goats. It doesn't matter because it technically tests out as protein. So you want to give your cows protein, right? And the deer go out there and eat right with the cattle. So the deer eat with the cattle and they get it too. That's how CWD became prominent in the deer population in this country. They ate the cattle feed.
Yep.
Now.
Well, you can see where the scenario of the zombie apocalypse has a, probably a high probability of actually coming to fruition here shortly. Because there's a lag time. The neurodegeneration can take up to 10 years to happen. With some of these people, seems to be happening rather quickly. Now, does that mean that they had a disease in process at the time they got the injection? Yeah, probably, but nobody knows.
It's really difficult to get people to tune in on this because it's very unpleasant. And I understand that. We both do. And all we can do is offer it up. And it's nice to know that our work, it's very hard work that Erica does especially. I've got my own hard work, but we both work on this together, each program. And it's nice to know that people care and do share this material. You won't find it anywhere else. I'm not saying there's not one other person, a researcher or a scientist, doing similar work. There are a couple, but they have maybe 100 people watching their sites. That's it. So we have a chance here. We've got ultimately millions that we'll reach. And you people are critically important. You're part of the team.
I think there's a tendency for people to think that if they didn't have any consequences, in the days to weeks after the injections that everything's fine. And I can think of many, many people I know that have had three, maybe four injections by now, and on the surface they seem okay. At this point they're seeming, a lot of them are, I think, not feeling entirely well. But this whole process of neurodegeneration can take time before it manifests. You know, what we know of mad cow disease, that can be 10 years in the making.
And yet with CJD now in people, which is mad cow, as we've pointed out here, there was a very, very disconcerting test. Was it 65 people? I forget.
26.
Go ahead and finish.
Well, you're referring to the study that was published by Luc Montagnier.
Yes, 11 days on the average, 11.5.
Yeah, so they tracked 26 people who had the shot, either Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca. I don't know that J&J was included in that. But they had manifested symptoms, psychological or neurological symptoms, very soon after the vax, and for whatever reason they became part of this study, and they were confirmed to have CJD. And they were calling it a new form of CJD. That I guess that remains to be seen. That paper is still in the process of being peer-reviewed, so it's being refined or revised every couple of months after additional input. But that's very alarming. And the whole concept of neurodegeneration and these prion domains being present in the spike protein was first mentioned by Bart Klassen in a paper he published in December of 2020. Yeah, 2020. And he warned about
this
probability.
Yeah.
This is not something that you want to be injecting into people to have them creating the protein that's going to cause the formation of misfolded proteins.
Two things the spike does. It probably does 30 things. Two things that you want to just keep in the fore of your mind, because we're not scientists, Eric is. One, it tricks your immune system into only producing antibodies that go after the spike protein. I'm generalizing, but that's the story. That's what gives you AIDS. Your immune system becomes useless for any other pathogen because you've got up to 30 trillion spike proteins running around your system with no off switch made from the mRNA you were injected with.
Well, that's part of it, but it's the T cells that are really taking a beating, because the T cells become infected and then the immune system kills those T cells. Just like in HIV, that's part of the problem with HIV, is that the cells that are supposed to identify either viruses or misbehaving cells are themselves compromised.
Correct.
Yeah.
I just try to keep it simple. But anyway, So one, it shuts down the immune system, and then you're screwed. You got AIDS. The door is open. Any pathogen passing by can come in and set up shop, and that's why people are dying of dozens of different syndromes and complexes and infections now. They're just running wild. And two, it's causing proteins to misfold everywhere. That's amyloidosis. That means you are being turned into rubber. We'll call those things rubberized, because that's what they act like. So you're being rubberized from head to toe, from the capillary level on up to your brain. Huh? Anywhere where there's a blood transmission, a circulation of blood, it doesn't matter, capillary or vein, artery. You're toast. Once this gets going, this is no known way to stop it.
No, there isn't. There are no cures. You can manage it, but there's no reversing it. You know, once it's underway, it tends to be progressive.
mercilessly progressive.
Yes.
All right. That's probably enough of that for now. We have some other things we need to get caught up on. Like, boy, they pulled the plandemic coronavirus playbook out, didn't they? Monkey virus.
Yeah, they sure did.
Monkeypox, the virus that is just doing everything it's asked to do. It's spreading all over the place now. I mean, hundreds of cases at the most, but it's spreading geographically all over, and it's not exclusive to homosexuals. Remember, a lot of men are bisexual. Huh? A lot of women are, too. That's the name of the game. But it's a problem. And what Erica found in a paper written and released and researched by primarily one of Dr. Luc Montagnier's top associates, Dr. Jean-Claude Perez, is very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Jean-Claude Perez is a French, how does he call himself, a biomathematician. Interesting guy. He's into numbers and analyzing codons of DNA from a numerical standpoint and tying it into golden mean ratios and Fibonacci sequences. Very fascinating guy. He took an opportunity to look at the monkeypox virus that supposedly is now circulating around the world and analyzing it.
Real quick, interject this. Monkeypox has traditionally been African. East Africa has a variety of monkeypox. We'll call it variety one. It has about a 10% fatality rate. West Africa has variety two. It has a 1% fatality rate, 1 out of 100. Those are the only two traditional strains of monkeypox until very recently that we knew about. Go ahead. Sorry about the interruption.
Right. So, okay. He looked at the sequences, or 14 sequences, that have been submitted to GenBank, which is the database where all the known genomes are stored so that people can look at them and study them. And he was trying to find a ancestry to this one that is apparently becoming a problem. And when he analyzed it, he said there were some peculiar sequences in this one that's prevalent right now. And one particular sequence was really mystifying. It pertained to the only other known match for it was a gene sequence in the simian hemorrhagic encephalitis virus. So it's a monkey virus that causes hemorrhagic fever. Monkey virus that causes a hemorrhagic fever. Now, what would that be doing in a pox virus, that's basically, a stable virus? Why would it have a DNA virus being very stable, not prone to recombination events and mutations the way an RNA virus would be? It's just a very, very strange insert. And there were also some bacterial sequences in there, too, that were just as puzzling. One was E. coli. Another one was Plasmodium, which is responsible for malaria. Another one was Yersinia, which is responsible for plague. So there's some very interesting sequences in this so-called monkey virus that came out of the jungle. Or did it?
It didn't come
from
Walmart.
That's what they want us to believe. The current narrative here, one of a couple narratives that mainstream allopathic care is putting out, is that this monkeypox has been circulating kind of under the radar now for several years. And the reason we're seeing it now is because people are immune suppressed due to COVID.
So this is cute.
Never mind
this is
that
cute.
We just had a tabletop exercise. The documents of which were leaked recently and had a timeline matching exactly this.
Unbelievable.
Never mind that, you know, we now have vaccines and therapeutics available, prophylactics and therapeutics available for smallpox that are also common to monkeypox, can be used for monkeypox. So, you know, all this is happening in the last year. And we're expected to believe that this has just been simmering at background levels in the environment all along, and we just never noticed it because everybody had intact immune systems.
Right. Well, we don't have a patient zero for this, but they're trying to claim that it was, there were patient zeros, and they were gay males who went to the Canary Islands for a soiree. And they took it from there and went back to the UK and Europe and the US with it. That's what they're claiming. Shades of the hepatitis B vaccine scam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh? 1976 in the U.S., gay males in only 10 major cities, gay males, who avowed that they were promiscuous, were given the vax. So that vax, the HIB, I guess that was HIB, wasn't it? Anyway, that vax caused AIDS.
That's how they seeded the AIDS. Yes, yes. So
I wrote a book
about
that
once. What's that?
I wrote a book about that once.
Very good. That would, you were ahead of your time.
Well, I edited a book about that once.
No, that's I'll send you
a copy.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. So look, this is they're blaming it on the gays again, and the way they did it in Africa was they put it in the smallpox vaccine.
Yep.
It was the last big vax push to get rid of smallpox from the face of the earth forever. Well, guess what's happening in Canada already? What are the Canadians lining up for?
Oh, they're getting their smallpox vaccines, the Jynneos brand, or the Immunovax. It's got a different brand name in Canada.
ACAM 200.
No, it's not the ACAM. It's not ACAM. ACAM 2000 is the full-fledged vaccinia replicating virus. They're not using that yet because that's contraindicated in people that have immune suppression. If you give that one to somebody that doesn't have an immune system, it will make them sick, really sick. But for now, they're using this replication deficient or attenuated vaccinia virus. It's been modified so that it's not as virulent. It's still alive. It just doesn't replicate, supposedly.
Supposedly. I trust them. Don't you trust them? I trust them.
Right.
They would never
lie
to us.
And the manufacturer of this Jynneos modified vaccinia version is a company known as Bavarian Nordic. And the two major shareholders of Bavarian Nordic are BlackRock and Vanguard.
And
what do you know?
Guess. Oh, I figured it out today. Not that it took much figuring, but if this all proceeds as it certainly seems to be heading toward, and that's the loss of a lot of Americans, Deagle.com, if we lose 230 million Americans by January 1st of 2025, there are going to be a lot of homes empty in this country. Guess who's going to buy up all those homes?
Yeah.
They're already buying up enormous tracts of, they're buying up zip codes. They'll go to a realtor and say, we want every home in the zip code. It's true. BlackRock and Vanguard. So, yeah, all these homes, which would otherwise be sitting empty, are going to be bought and rented out by Vanguard and BlackRock.
Well, and I think that is the reason why we're still seeing, at least I am, quite a bit of construction for this high-density housing, cluster housing.
Right.
Because I think they want to jam everybody into, you know, confined areas limit their access to open space. I suspect they're going to go after, rural and suburban areas, and I don't know what they're going to do with them. But they'll have everybody living in these high-density, high-rises.
Exactly what they want. They want them crammed together for reasons of, I believe, disease propagation ease and control ease.
These things are loaded with the 5G, transmitters, antennas, cameras.
Oh, they're all there.
So,
millimeter wave technology
in
every other street light or something like that. I don't know what it is. It's crazy. You can't go out for a walk on the street. If you're worried about 5G, at least make an effort to find out where it is in your vicinity. And they do have, I've got one on the home page on the left side. It's called antenna locate or something like that. And it's pretty well kept up to date. You can find out. But when they start burying these 5G transmitters in the roadways, and they do, and put them in the streetlights, and they do, and they put them in the big towers, and they do, what are you going to do? Find out where they are. Go to companies like lessemf.com because they do have products that you can get, like if you want to go to sleep at night and you don't want to be bombarded with 5G or any other kind of EMR. There's a lot of different forms of electromagnetic radiation. You can get it's like a mosquito net. You can hang it over your bed. And Dick Allgaier has one. I told him about that. And I'm happy to report I just heard from Dick, and he's doing better. He's getting a little better every day, and it's a long way back, but we're not going to lose him. He's going to be okay. So that's important.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Okay. How many monkeypox cases are there in the U.S.? Monkeypox cases in the U.S. are there? Now, keep in mind, I'm going to tell you the number. But keep in mind how much, we just call it ink in the media, how much ink this story has gotten, okay? How much ink? 19 cases. That's what it says. How many monkeypox cases in the U.S.? 19.
This is interesting. There are two strains of it that have been identified in the U.S. However, these two strains are not related to the outbreak in Europe.
Smell a rat? Anybody?
Yeah.
Or a monkey?
And, there's some confusion now as to whether or not shingles is being labeled as monkeypox, although the monkeypox lesions have very distinct features. I don't see how any doctor
There's
could confuse
no
the
way.
Two.
No way just, anybody with a brain could do
no,
that.
No. But, these immune suppressed people are they've been having increased in frequency of the molluscum, which is another form of a pox virus, also known as water warts. That has been very prevalent since the rollout of these vaccines, and it is an indication of a suppressed immune system. I don't know how much that is being labeled as monkeypox or could be labeled as monkeypox. But when the immune system is failing, it's not uncommon to have a lot of different types of skin disorders. So it may just be a case where, people see a rash and they panic and think it's monkeypox. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out. It's obvious they're going to run with it, whether it's real or not. They're going to act as if it's real and instill the panic and fear.
These so-called tabletop sounds kind of quaint, doesn't it? Sitting around the kitchen, the tabletop exercise has been exact, and the long run of it is it, am I correct that it's supposed to recede and then come roaring back with a vengeance a few months hence?
Yes, at January of 2023, so 5 months, 6 months from now, it's going to be global to the extent that it will be considered a pandemic. And who knows what they have in mind for us at that point. But there'll be, millions dead, many millions more infected.
Now, we've already found, according to Perez, that this virus, which has a sequence in it that shouldn't be there. How did it get there?
Right.
Well, it's more than suspicious. It's a smoking gun. They're obviously doing this.
Well, according to the tabletop scenario, the vaccine is not going to be effective for this strain of monkeypox that's going to plague the planet. Now, does this sequence have something to do with that? To make it more resistant or evade the immune system in some way? I guess time will tell. But, normally monkeypox shouldn't be a problem in people with a competent immune system. The problem is we have a couple billion people that are immune suppressed now.
Maybe more.
Maybe
in this
more.
Country? No? We have 330 million. And figure 20%. So that would be 66 million from 330. So you got 270, let's just round it off, 270 million who've been shot up here.
SARS virus, the China flu, is still out there. It hasn't gone away. In fact, it's becoming more virulent. Just as Gerrit Vandenbosch predicted. I mean, look at Dick.
Yeah.
This has become a really nasty virus. It wasn't in the beginning. I mean, it was confined to high risk groups. I mean, I don't want to say it was nothing, but doing what they did with a leaky vaccine, bad idea. So they're putting selective pressure on it so that it becomes more infectious and virulent.
Here's another one. Scientists discover some fully vaxxed children are suffering sepsis and autoimmune disease when exposed to COVID-19. That's what they're saying.
Well, no surprise there.
Not in the least. I still would like to know how they're proving COVID-19 when they don't have a test yet. Never mind, it won't stop them.
Well, everything's labeled. When they do the PCR, they're looking for the nucleocapsid protein, a sequence in the nucleocapsid protein. So they're not looking for spike protein RNA.
No.
They're looking for nucleocapsid. So that tends to be the conserved part of the virus. So I would not go off of a simple nasal swab to make a diagnosis, but that's what they're looking for in a PCR. But it should be confirmed with other...
No such thing as a simple nasal swab anymore.
No.
It's an archaeological excavation.
And a transfection method. We know that.
Just incredible, all of it.
And how easy it's been to execute.
Piece of cake. Americans are not going to stand up. They're too sick. They're too brainwashed. The idiocy I saw at these pride parades, that's a lot of people out there. Not the majority. But as a culture, forgotten how to parent? No, that's not correct. They never knew how to parent. You don't forget how to parent. They've been corrupted.
Yeah. No, society is breaking down.
On schedule.
Right.
It's all happening according to the real plan that's being run by that great supercomputer somewhere with AI, and they track everything. There's no doubt about it. None. You understand, this isn't just a couple of people sitting around in a room figuring this out. They have incredible amounts of technology at their disposal, and they use it. They know how we act. They know how we react, because they've created it. What's that wonderful line from the X-Files?
Oh,
the best way to control the future?
Is to create it.
That's what they're doing.
Yep.
Okay. We'll do this again. Thank you, young lady.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with Mitchell Henderson and the World on the Brink next.